بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين فقد قال الله تعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وقال تعالى ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين صدق الله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ما بعد Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Inshallah, it's very nice to see each of you here tonight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and increase you in everything that is good. You see, it's a great blessing and opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And it may seem like it's something simple. You heard about an event, you saw the poster, you got the email, you saw the post on Facebook, somebody told you. So you came to listen. So it seems like it's something nominal, something simple, you know, not that remarkable, but in fact, it is remarkable because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to gather together to study His words. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give this opportunity to everyone. And there are many people who may know about the Qur'an, who may have a copy of the Qur'an, but it's sitting somewhere in their closet, it's gathering dust, they haven't read it, or perhaps they have read it, but they haven't thought about what Allah is saying to them. Or perhaps they have thought about what Allah is saying to them, but never had the opportunity to actually look into that or to study it. Or perhaps they have done that, but they didn't have the opportunity to reflect upon it. Or perhaps they even reflected, but it still wasn't a source. It still didn't have the effect on them that it should have had. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us through all of these different steps and actually brought us here is actually quite remarkable and something very special. And we have to treat it that way and we have to recognize it as such. And for that, you know, there's certain things, certain elements to learning from or learning about Allah's book that are more, that make it a bit more different than any other gathering, or any other halaqa for that matter. So first of all, respect for the words of Allah, right? Because the words that we're going to be talking about and that we recite are not just any other words. They're not just words that someone has put together. But in fact, they're the words of the Creator, the one who has created everything that we see, who has created even the star, the farthest star that we see when we look up in the sky, and who's managing that, and who's managing everything in the universe. So these are words that He has chosen to send to us. And He wants us to understand and wants us to apply in our lives. So these are very special words, so we need to recognize that. So part of that respect is the way we listen, our attention that we give. And in fact, I believe we have paper and some writing instruments as well. The sisters have some. Do the brothers have any here?
Yeah, on this table right
there. Oh, on that table. I think there's a jacket on there. But there's paper there as well. So if you want to take this opportunity to grab a piece of paper and maybe take some notes or do it on your phone if you like. Don't get distracted by other incoming text messages and notifications. So that's one part of it. The second part of it, and I hate to say this also, but if you don't really need to lean on the wall, then let's come closer, inshallah. If you really have to, because if you have back pain or something, then that's fine. But otherwise, one of the etiquettes of the gathering is to come as close as possible, sisters together, the brothers together, so that there is some a sense of togetherness and cohesiveness when we are sitting together. Right? And these are the gatherings in which the sakina, the blessings, the serenity and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to. Right? Because these are gatherings where Allah is being remembered and His words are being studied. So these are very special gatherings, not just for us, but even for the angels. And even for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. You see, the fact that Allah has brought us here is actually a favor of His upon us as well. Because I know for sure that I myself, I'm not worthy of doing what I'm about to do. I'm not worthy of teaching the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trying to explain them. That's not in my capacity. But it's a demand of the times, of the circumstances. So inshallah, I will try my best and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide me and help me in doing that. And that He guides me to say only that which is correct, and He protects me from making any mistakes and saying anything that is incorrect. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us His words. And there's actually three connections that we have with His words. Right? The first one is to recite it properly. Right? We don't like to go and do a presentation and make grammatical mistakes in front of people. You know, when you're working, you don't like to hand in a presentation to your supervisor, to your boss, and have errors in them. We don't like doing that. Right? So when it comes to the recitation of the Qur'an, the most important words in the universe, in the world at least, in the universe, we need to make an effort to recite it as perfectly as possible. Right? So that's the first connection. Second connection is then to understand it. Yes, there is virtue in reciting the words of the Qur'an, even without understanding it. Right? So the reward that the Prophet ﷺ has told us, 10 rewards, 10 blessings for each letter, not just each word, but each letter, is for anyone who recites it, even if a person does not understand it. But that's not the only reason why Allah has sent the Qur'an. He sent it for a higher purpose than just reciting it, even though reciting it is great. And that is to understand it. But then what is the purpose of understanding if a person does not act upon it? If it does not change a person, if it does not benefit a person, then what's the benefit? What's the point? Right? So recite it, understand it, and then apply it. So apply what Allah is saying. So inshallah, we're going to try to work on these three connections. So we're going to be working on the second and third connection, although there may be some places where I might mention some little, you know, tidbits here and there about how it's recited as well. So I won't go into too much detail because of course time is limited. And once we get to the half hour point, then inshallah I'll just try to stop it there, even if there's something left, and we'll cover it next time inshallah. When it comes to the study of the Quran, there's many books that there are many books that have been written, many commentators, mufassirun, since very early on, since practically the time of the Prophet, or just after that. So there's a lot out there, there's a lot of understandings, a lot of different, I don't want to say differences of opinion, but different opinions that add depth to the words of the Qur'an. And obviously we can't cover all of those, nor do I know all of them. However, what I'll try to do, inshallah, is to mention those that are most relevant, inshallah, or that I think can be of most benefit, inshallah. For questions, I would ask that we please keep them till the end. So once everything's finished, then you can ask me personally, inshallah. Or if people want to stay for that time, for that point, then we can stay. But I want to continue forward until the half-hour mark, inshallah, without any questions. Now, of course, we start with Surah Al-Fatiha. Because Surah Al-Fatiha is the opening of the Qur'an. That's what Fatiha means, the opening. Plus, Allah has instructed us to recite it in every single rak'ah of prayer. Right, so if a person just offers their fard prayers, not even the sunnahs or the other prayers, but just the fard prayers every single day, 5 times a day, they're reciting Surah Al-Fatiha or hearing it 17 times a day. Now that's a lot, right? That's quite a bit. The same surah over and over again, to the point where sometimes it just becomes a habit, right? And we know that, okay, you got to do it and you just do it. But there's got to be there's got to be something so special in Surah Al-Fatiha that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it the beginning of the Qur'an, and He has instructed us to recite it so many times a day. Now one thing I need to mention also, in the verses that I recited, you know, Allah tells us the quality of the believers. And though they are those, the believers, I mean there's many qualities, but some of the qualities that Allah mentions that I recited in the second verse from Surah Al-Anfal is that the believers are those that when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble, their hearts shake. So when the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, basically they feel something in their hearts. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ And when the verses of Allah are recited, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا Their faith increases, right? They feel something in their hearts and their connection with Allah, their belief, their level of awe and respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases. Right? So there's something that they feel in their hearts. So when we recite the Qur'an and we hear the words of the Qur'an, it should have an effect on our hearts. Secondly, Allah tells us right in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah that this book, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ That book, لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ There's no doubt in it. And it's a source of guidance. But then he qualifies that and he says, who is it a source of guidance for? He says, هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ It's a source of guidance for the people of taqwa. Right? It is for everyone. But the people who are going to derive the most benefit from it, those who are going to be guided the most from it, are those people of taqwa, the people who have consciousness of Allah, the people who have the reverent fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart, who know that Allah is always watching them, who are concerned about their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who recognize that they owe something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those are the people who are truly going to benefit. And one of the things we need to remember is that a person could spend 10 years, 20 years studying the Qur'an, studying Islam, could get a PhD in Qur'anic studies. But if the person, or any other Islamic studies, okay, any other knowledge of deen, but if taqwa is missing, if a person studies for that long, yet at the end of it, taqwa is lacking, they actually don't fear Allah, they don't have the reverent fear of Allah, they don't have the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they actually haven't gained much. And actually we see that happening, right? So people graduate and, I may graduate and I think, I've studied for 10 years and this and that, or in this university and, whatever. But the taqwa is missing and that shows in my behavior and all my actions are affected by that. Then what have I gained? I haven't gained really anything from those 10 years of study. Right? So at the end of it, whatever we learn, whatever we study, it's got to build our taqwa. And if we have taqwa in our hearts, then that will open up more doors of guidance for us as well. So moving on to Surah Al-Fatiha. So Surah Al-Fatiha was the first full surah to be revealed. Okay, so the first words of the Qur'an that were revealed to the Prophet ﷺ in the cave of Hira, or Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalq, right, the beginning of Surah Al-Alaq. So those were the first verses, not the entire surah. There were a few others that also came after that in terms of verses. But many of the Mufassirun say, Mufassirun means commentators. So many of the commentators of the Qur'an say that in fact the Surah Al-Fatiha was in fact the first complete surah to be revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now in Surah Al-Fatiha there's a great lesson in what to ask for and how to ask for it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, because the surah is actually divided into two parts. Okay, so in the first part, Allah is actually teaching us how to ask. Allah is teaching us how to ask. And then, in the second part of the surah, He's teaching us what to ask for. Okay, so this is a template, actually, for learning how to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how to present ourselves in front of Allah. And there's many other lessons as well, and inshallah I will mention that as they come up. So, Surah Al-Fatiha. Now there's a discussion among the commentators, among the Mufassirun, whether Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is actually a part of the surah or not. Okay? Some of the commentators have said that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is a part of every surah. Okay? So you'll notice that some imams, when they recite, they actually say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, when they're reciting Salah. Others have said that no, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not a part of every surah or is not a part of Surah Al-Fatiha. Although everyone agrees that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is found in the Quran, Surah Al-Naml, Innahu min Sulaymana wa Innahu Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And Sulaymana alayhi salam wrote a letter and the Queen of Sheba received it. She opened it up and she read and she stayed and she's quoted, her words are quoted in the Quran. That innahu min Sulaiman, that verily it is from Sulaiman, wa innahu bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and verily in it we find the word bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, so bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is there regardless of whether it's part of the surah or if it's not. Nonetheless, it's something that is everyone agrees should be recited especially when we are beginning the recitation of the Quran. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how does he start out? So now think about it. You've got the most important document, the Quran, in the entire world, the source of guidance for the people of taqwa, the source a source of guidance for everyone, but of course the people of taqwa are going to derive the most benefit from it. And what does Allah start with after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Alhamdulillah. Now this indicates to us something, right? Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. Okay. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have just said Alhamdulillah generally, that praise is for Allah. But Alhamdu makes it specific, right? And actually, many of the commentators say that it's actually a way of perhaps putting emphasis that Alhamdu, the praise. So if you're going to make any praise, if you're going to praise anyone or anything, the praise is actually for Lillah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is understood actually as a form of gratitude and thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Now you may say, okay, I'm praising Allah, so how is that actually thanking Allah? So if you think about it, if you praise someone, if you praise something, you're basically appreciating something about them. It doesn't have to be for you, right? It could be someone's expertise in a particular field or in a sport, but you appreciate that, you recognize that, right? And then you praise them. So basically what we're doing is, when we say Alhamdulillah, we're showing appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what Allah wants us to do. The first thing He wants us to do, the first thing He's highlighting to us, is Alhamdulillah. Right? That all praise and thanks are due to Allah. So this tells us that if you're ever going to praise anyone or anything, or if you're thinking of praise towards someone or something, we've got to associate it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no one is capable of anything just on their own. It's because of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's because Allah has had facilitated that and allowed them to do that. Okay, so that's why whenever we say something, you know, I got a raise, Alhamdulillah. You know, wow, look at that, you know, look at that person, mashallah. You know, whatever it is, so always associate any form of praise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this hamd, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he mentions that this is more general in that it is a statement of praise for one's characteristics, for what he has done. So thanks generally are given for what was done, and not merely for someone's qualities. Okay, normally you show thanks to someone for something that they've done, right? So hamdo, this praise is more general because it's not just for what Allah has done for us, but it's entirely for who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and for His characteristics. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, basically the earliest and basically the head of the Mufassirun, right, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his cousin as well. So he's seen as an authority when it comes to tafsir, in the science of tafsir. He says that Alhamdulillah is the statement of appreciation. So really that's what it is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is starting the Quran, starting Surah Al-Fatiha with Alhamdulillah, indicating to us that He wants us to have an approach, an attitude of gratitude towards Him. He wants us to thank Him. So don't forget that. Always be thankful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has also told us that if you thank Me, I will increase you. Okay, I will give you more. If you thank Me, if you recognize My favors upon you, then I will grant you more. Right? So that's a secret formula to getting more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As opposed to complaining, give thanks to Allah, right, for every single thing. And Allah tells us that if you try to count all the blessings of Allah, you're not going to be able to count them, because there's just so many. Right? So always, always, always be in a state of gratitude and thankfulness towards Allah, regardless of the situation. Rabbil Alameen. Okay, the word Rabb. Now generally we translate it as Lord. Okay, simply. But really the word Rabb is really deep, because it indicates many different meanings and they all apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So owner, master, one who nurtures, the one who dominates, who controls, who has the authority, who brings up, who is the chief, who is the king. Okay, so that's Rabb. Because when we say Rabb, that's basically what it's referring to. All of those things. Okay, and then Allah tells us that He is Rabbul Alameen. Right, so not just Rabb. So remember, owner, master, one who nurtures, dominates, controls, authority, brings up, chief, king. Not just of the Muslims. Not just of Muslim countries. Not just of human beings. But Rabbul Alameen. Okay. Now, in the word alam has been translated in different ways. So some have said that it refers to categories. So the jinns and the human beings. Some have said that alam refers to the world or to the earth. And other meanings of the word is kingdom, universe. And Allah is using the plural form for that. Okay, so Rabbil Alameen. So basically everything that exists, the entire creation in the entire universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord. He's the Rabb. The owner, the master, the one who nurtures, who's managing them, who dominates them, who controls them, who has authority over them, who's bringing them all up. So remember that star I was mentioning, that star millions of light years away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nurturing it and managing it just like He's managing this world and managing us. Right? So that's the greatness and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the lessons from the first verse, always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because that's the first thing He's telling us. That's the first thing He's mentioning in the Qur'an. This is the first thing we're mentioning when we start our salah and we start reciting the Qur'an. So don't underestimate the value of thankfulness. Always, always, always be in a state of thankfulness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, associate praise with Him. So even someone praises you, what do? Someone says, MashaAllah, you're looking great. Or someone says, wow, that was a great presentation. Or, you know, that was a great dish you cooked. That was great about you. You don't just think, oh yeah, okay, I'm doing great, I'm awesome. Right, that's good. Okay? Right, so ego starts ballooning. No, say Alhamdulillah. Right? It's because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So always direct any praise towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because this is not because of who we are or what we are capable of. It's because Allah enabled us to do that. And the word Rabb then denotes a continuous relationship with Allah. Right? Allah didn't just say that Khaliq al-Alameen, the one who just created the universe and that's it. No, Rabb, because Rabb is continuous, right? It's someone who nurtures, who's bringing up. Right? So this is something that's continuous. So remember that we have a continuous relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just one-off that, okay, He created us, He created Adam alayhi salam, He did His job and that's it. And now humanity is just on its own and we're all on our own. No, right? It's a continuous relationship that we have. Now in terms of recitation, just a quick point. Alhamdu. Lillahi, right? There's a tajweed rule here, and that is that when the word Allah is preceded with a letter that has a kasra or a zair. Okay, so for example, the word Lillah is actually two words, Li and Allah. Okay, so when the word Allah has a kasra or a zair before it, you're going to say it with a smile. It's going to be thin. Lillahi. You're not going to say Lillahi. You're going to say Lillahi. Bismillahi. Why don't we say Bismillahi? Because there is a kasra is there before the word Allah. Millahi, lillahi. On the other hand, if before the word Allah we have a fatha, a zabr, or a dhamma, a pesh, then we say it with a full mouth. Allahu. We don't say Allahu. We say Allahu. Huwallahu. Okay, so that's the difference. If the letter before the word Allah has a kasra or is there, we say it with a smile. Lillahi. And if we have a fatha, a zabar, or a pesh, a dhamma, before the word Allah, then it's read with a full mouth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the qualities of Himself, of this Rabb. Right, when He says, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Now the interesting thing about the words Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim is that they have the same root letters, which is Ra, Ha, Mim. Okay, so in Arabic you have root letters, three letters, four letters, sometimes a bit more, and they denote something, they have a meaning, and then those letters are then placed in certain patterns to develop different meanings. Okay, so Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim have the same root letters, Ra, Ha, Mim, which denotes mercy. Okay, that's essentially what it denotes. Ra, Ha, Mim. Now Rahman and Rahim are coming on two different patterns. Rahman is on the pattern of Fa'lan, and Rahim is on the pattern of Fa'il. Okay, so what you do is you take the fa'ain lam in fa'lan or fa'il and you replace them with the root letters and then you have the meaning that that particular pattern gives you. Okay, and that's how the Arabic language really works for many of the words. So you have root letters and then you have patterns So it's pretty interesting, right? You just take the root letters and boom, put them in, and then you got the meaning, right? Fa'il, someone who does something. You take fa'il lam, replace it with kha lam qaf, and all of a sudden you have khaliq, creator. Okay? So Rahman and Rahim with the same root letters, denoting mercy. So what's the difference between the two? Rahman and Rahim. So commentators of the Quran have given different meanings, but one of them is that Rahman refers to mercy for all. Mercy for everyone and everything that exists. Whereas Rahim actually refers to specific mercy for the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has general mercy which applies to everyone, right? Whether you're a believer, non-believer, Fir'aun, anyone, animals, jinns, whoever, right? This is general mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon everyone, right? Fir'aun was eating, he had a kingdom, he was drinking, he was breathing, you know, everything. So all of these, this is from the mercy of Allah, okay? So there's that general mercy, but then there's that specific mercy which is for the believers. So for example, when I give the khutbah on epidemics and diseases, right? Remember there's a hadith that a pandemic or an epidemic, the plague, is punishment for those who don't believe, but a mercy or an opportunity basically for the believers, right? In the same way, difficulties that come up, that we face stress or difficulties and pain and suffering, for the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put good in all of those, right? So there's certain things which are specific for the believers, right? So this is more in the realm of Rahim, and whereas Rahman is for everyone. Now, others have also said that Rahman actually means the holder of mercy, and Rahim is referring to the giver of mercy, okay, who bestows mercy upon people. So there's different understandings of that. Another view is that Rahman is in the dunya and in the hereafter, in the world and in the hereafter, the mercy that's there in both places, and Rahim, that mercy is that which is in the hereafter, meaning specific for the believers, right? Because in the hereafter, those who reject Allah will be deprived of His mercy. Right, so that mercy will be specific for the believers. Now, one of the questions that people ask is, okay, why did Allah create us? Like, He didn't need to create us. Like, we don't give Allah anything. He doesn't, like, He wouldn't suffer if there was no one here. He doesn't suffer because we're here. So, you know, like, what's the whole point? Okay, so some of the commentators, the scholars have mentioned that the reason may very well be to discharge His mercy. Okay, because if there's no creation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be merciful, He loves to be merciful, one of His prominent qualities, one of the ones, Ar-Rahman, the one you see mentioned everywhere, right? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, 99 names of Allah, starts from that, right? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful, and He wants to be merciful towards someone or something. So therefore the creation are there so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be merciful and He can discharge His mercy towards them. So this is one of the understandings that we get. Now when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, right, the first thing in the first verse, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, what that should tell us really is make us realize our smallness. Okay? Now this is generally something that's not encouraged, right? We always talk about self-esteem and, you know, pride and you know, you want to be someone who feels like you're something. Usually that's something that's just positive, right, in society. And to a certain extent it's true. But when we recite the Quran and we start praying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to put us in our place. To recognize and to realize who we really are. Like, we think we have a lot of power, you know, got a lot of money, I've got a lot of, you know, this and that authority. But hey, when you're praying, when you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, you're reciting the Quran, you're actually connecting with an entity, with someone who is a lot more greater than you. Okay, the Rabbul Alameen. So recognize, you know, your neediness. Recognize how small you actually are. And when we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and Allah is telling you, okay, don't worry, this Rabb that we're talking about, that is so much greater than you are, is the most merciful. Right? To everyone. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. But it should also remind us about being merciful ourselves. Because the Prophet ﷺ has told us, Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhum Ar-Rahman. That those who are merciful, the Rahman is merciful towards them. So if you truly want Allah to be merciful towards you, look at your actions. You're offering salah. Think about your actions since the last prayer, since the last salah, since the last time you recited Surah Al-Fatiha. How merciful have you actually been towards people? Or were you actually going around being mean to people, being rude to people, being merciless towards people? Right? So be merciful so that you can actually receive Allah's mercy, so that you can be recipients of Allah's mercy as well. Not just towards other human beings. Irhamu man fil ard. Be merciful towards the inhabitants of the earth. Right? So not just human beings, not just Muslims, not just your relatives, not just your friends, but all human beings, not just human beings, right? Even animals, anyone, anything, any creation of Allah, anything that's upon earth, be merciful towards it. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be merciful towards you as well. And finally, also understand Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends you challenges, if you're having a difficulty in your life, whether it's at work, or in your family, or with your health, or any other situation, and there's nothing you can do about it, you're helpless, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So if He is the one who's sending it towards you, and you know that He has these qualities of mercy, then even this difficulty that you're in is some form of mercy, which you may not understand at this particular point, yet it's from the Rahman and from the Rahim. So take comfort and take solace in that. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Okay, now what's interesting is that sometimes you might be reciting behind an imam, and instead of Maliki Yawm al-Din, the imam says Maliki Yawm al-Din. And you're almost, you know, you almost feel compelled to say Maliki Yawm al-Din, scream it out, right? So sort of correct the imam, okay? So the fact of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, is that certain words of the Quran have multiple recitations, okay? Multiple ways that they can be recited, and they're all correct. And what they do is they don't actually change the meaning significantly, rather they add more depth to the meaning. Okay, so it gives you more opportunities to understand different things from the same word, which will be related because the root letters will be practically the same most of the time. Okay, so the meaning does not change significantly, yet it adds more depth to what Allah is saying. So Maliki Yawm al-Din and Maliki Yawm al-Din are both recitations which are accepted. Now Malik means king. Okay. And Yawm al-Din is referring to the day of recompense. Normally we understand Deen as religion. Yawm, day, Deen, normally as religion. But another meaning is recompense. Okay, so Yawm al-Din, meaning the day of recompense. Malik or Malik refers to king. Okay, so basically the one, again another quality of Allah, that the one who has kingdom and dominion over the day of judgment. Or if it's Maliki Yawm al-Din, then it's referring to ownership, master, right? The one who owns. So the one who owns the day of judgment. Now either way, there's something for us to take heed from. So if it's Malik, right, meaning the master of the day of judgment, then understand that he is the only one who's going to judge eventually and no one else. Okay? So the judgment at the end of the day, whether you're taking a test or you're trying to please your boss or your wife or your husband or whoever you plan to please, at the end of the day, whose judgment is really going to matter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment is going to matter. Okay? So He matters most. So worry most about pleasing Him. Of course, you can please other people as long as you're not displeasing Allah. Right? لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. Right? When it comes to disobedience of Allah, there's no following anyone. A child is even told to disobey his or her parents if they are commanding him to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so when it comes to the obedience of Allah, that's paramount. Okay? And there's no obedience to anyone, any of the creation, when it comes to the disobedience of Allah. You don't obey them then. Okay? So, Malik Yawm al-Din, he's the master of the day of judgment. His judgment is actually going to matter the most. If it's Malik, telling us that he's the ultimate king on the most important day, then don't get carried away with your own power. Right, you have power as a spouse, as a husband, as a wife, as you know, a mother, as a mother, as a father, as a worker, as a citizen. You have all of these, right? Don't get carried away with them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate king. On that day, on the day of resurrection, nobody else's kingdom or power is going to matter, right? So don't let it get to your heart and to your mind. Keep it in check. And remember the day of resurrection. Allah is reminding us in every raka'ah, every time we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, don't forget about that day. It's going to happen, and you will have to answer for every single one of your deeds. So if someone offers salah 5 times a day, you're involved in work, you're in business, or whatever you're doing at home, or anywhere else, remember, think about what you've done, and set yourself straight until the next prayer, remembering that you will have to answer for each of your deeds, no matter how small or how large they may be. Right? So, day of judgment, remember it, and act accordingly. And also be just. Right? You don't want to be the one who is unjust. So don't do injustices to people. Remember, because on the day of judgment, everyone's going to get justice, even animals. You know, goats, one with horn and one without a horn. And they get into a fight, and the one with the horn wins and hurts the one who didn't have any horns. Prophet ﷺ has told us that even they will get justice on the day of judgment. Right? So everyone will get ultimate justice on the day of judgment. So be careful about what you do with your actions and in this life, because you will have to pay otherwise in the hereafter. And finally, also on the day of judgment, everyone will get justice. So if you go through difficulties in this life, because remember, Allah is fair, right? And if there are things that are not in your control, and one person faces more hardships than the other person less, Allah is fair. So on the day of judgment, everything will be settled, right? The person who had fewer opportunities, who had less power, will be held to less account. The person who was given more, who had more power, who had more opportunities, can be held to greater account. Right? So at the end of the day, everything will be fair. So if you feel like life is throwing a curveball at you, right? Something is not fair, whether within people, among relationships, or even from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you feel like, you know, why do I deserve this? Why does Allah keep sending me this to me? Then remember, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Allah is the master of the day of judgment, He's the king of the day of judgment. And on that day, you are, and everyone is going to get justice, inshallah. Whether it's against between people, or in any other way, everything will be just, and no one will be denied justice on that day, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden oppression upon Himself. So Allah does not oppress anyone, even though it may seem like life is unfair. On that day, everything will be fair, inshallah. We've reached just about our half-hour limit, so I'm going to stop there, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to truly understand His majesty and to appreciate it and to really feel it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who remember Him properly, who thank Him all the time, and make us among those who are just and who remember the Day of Judgment, who worship Him properly, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Inshallah, we will continue the session next week. The timing will fluctuate from week to week. So inshallah, please.